So now let's hit up three.
Okay.
And we kind of touched on it earlier. We'll let Vito set off three.
I fucking love three.
Now, when did you love three, though?
Okay. Like everybody else in the 80s, I hated that movie because there was no Michael Myers. I had robots that walked like Michael Myers. I had Dean Cundey's cinematography. I had another excellent score that was similar to 1 and 2 from John Carpenter and Alan Hayworth. Mm-hmm. All the elements were there, but Michael Myers was not. And so because of that, I was like everybody else, was very angry with that movie. Until, I don't know, sometime in 1999... I just had a craving to check out 3. No rhyme, no reason. It was a movie I always avoided because I just didn't like it. And until one day, I just had a craving for it. So this is when Tower Records was back in, existed right. back in the days. Right. And if you're too young to know what that is, that was a great fucking story you guys missed out on.
Yep.
It was brilliant. Love that place. But I digest.
So digress.
My bad.
We all digest, motherfucker.
You fucking embarrass me like that. Anyway.
You did it on yourself.
So I digress. So I went back in sometime in 1999. I picked it up on VHS and I just popped it in, and I finally got it. And when you finally get what 3 is, it's a beautiful movie. But it should never have been named Halloween 3. It should have been named John Carpenter Presents Season of the Witch. Because the fact that Michael Myers after 2 was so entrenched with the Halloween name, it would have been better because John Carpenter had an idea to use the Halloween name. Not for Michael Myers, but
as an
anthology to drop a new Halloween theme storyline. And what I mean by theme, a movie based around the holiday itself, not so much connected to Michael Myers. But the problem is, Jason was already out. So we already had a couple Jason sequels at that point. Mm-hmm. So people expected to see Michael Myers in Halloween 3, even though he died at the end of 2.
Right.
So had it been called John Carpenter's Season of the Witch, I think the movie would have been gangbusters and would have been loved a lot more than it was when it first dropped.
All right, so I hate, just like Vito said, I hated that shit for years.
And what did Vito tell you?
He said, disregard the Halloween title and just watch it as Season of the Witch. Me and Knuckles, we watched it, and it's been one of my favorites. Just in general, as a horror film, it has that 70s sci-fi
yes.
tragic ending, and I think it works on so many levels. Now, what do you think about same thing? Did you have the same feeling?
I had the same feeling for years, and I revisited it last week. And I enjoyed it. It's not even in the Halloween universe, right? Because there's commercials of the right. Halloween movie. Right. And the Halloween movie's playing when Tom Atkins is tied up at the end. It's playing on the TV, the part where Laurie right. Strode, the first Halloween. So it's not even in that universe.
Right.
Again, you know, it's if it wasn't called Halloween, it would be probably more well received. Enjoyed the score
the score might have been the best of all three films, the ones that John Carpenter Ooh. Did.
I don't know, but I'd love that score.
It was a dope score. The Silver Shamrock song was annoying but catchy.
I like that Silver Shamrock catchy. Song because it's so right? creepy because of as a kid right. when I saw that, even though I hated the fact that Michael Myers was in there, that's why I hated that film, because he wasn't in there, but there were right. other elements that scared the shit out of me as a kid. And that whole Shamrock song, as a kid growing up, because when you see it as a kid with that theme song, you see what happens to those who wore the mask.
Yeah.
So now that I love the movie, I have to torture Vito. So when it's
this
Halloween,
this motherfucker calls me every fucking October 1st to the 31st.
No, not know? Even. Sometimes I start in August, July, and I'd be like, I go, Alexa, how many days is it until Halloween? He'd be like, you have 172 days of Halloween. So I call him up, 172 days to Halloween,
every fucking
Halloween.
Day to Halloween, I get a fucking voicemail from this fucker.
By the way, Dick Warlock is one of the robot dudes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. I think. For me, it was a pretty good movie. Of course, you can't really shit on the effects. I mean, you know what I mean? But I thought it was solid. Over the years, I did not. I changed my mind on it. But I also like the three masks that they used.
They're called the Halloween 3. They're called the Halloween
3. The witch one was Illy. Is that right?
Yeah.
The Halloween 3,
They were based on real masks. Those masks existed before the movie, but then I think they were highlighted afterwards, and I think a company bought the rights to those masks, and now they're putting them out themselves again.
So,
but
yeah,
NECA sells those figures too. The Halloween 3,
directed
figures.
By Tommy Lee Wallace, by the way,
yes.
who created the original mask. And by the way,
Dennis Condi shot that cinematography on that as well too.
And Annie, shout out to the girl who played Annie. She played the ex-wife of Tom Atkins. Yeah. Fool was a hound, boy.
Yeah, he was.
He was going after them.
Yeah,
chicks,
he went
man.
After them. Yeah, he smashed the old girl.
Tom Skerritt, what was his name?
Tom Atkins. He's the man.
Yeah, Tom Atkins.
He's the best.
Yeah,
he's the best.
He bangs him out.
And then, but you know, it was funny when he covered the camera at the end. He threw the mask and it made it all the way to the corner to cover. Yeah. Remember, he was tied up and he. Yeah. I was like, come on, man.
Hey, but he's Tom Atkins. Come on.
It took him 48 takes to get that right. And from what I
thought it was just an insert shot of somebody just throwing it on there.
No, he actually did it. And what happened was he did it by accident initially the first time. And it wasn't supposed to be in the script.
Really?
And so they liked it. So they asked him to do it again. And it took him 48 takes to do it again.
Damn. See, he's Tom Atkins, brother.
The cut that they used is just an insert. But, hey, if he did it, then I stand corrected. Because I thought that was really far-fetched.
The main villain, I liked him. He had a tall man from Phantasm feel.
His name was...
Connell. The actor you're talking about?
Yeah,
or
the actor.
I don't know the actor's name.
He played the old man in RoboCop.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's yes, right.
Yes. Something. He also played the alien in Last Starfighter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was him. Yeah.
No, he's great, and he reminds me of the tall man in a great way, like in a complimentary way. I think he's excellent.
I didn't get that from him.
I just think the white hair and just the way he carries himself, the way he talks, gives me tall man
his
vibes.
His name is Dan.
Gives me vibes. You know.
You know what the vibes
Dan
I got?
O'Hareley.
Yes,
Dan O'Hareley. Yes. Yeah. The vibes I got would be like a Lex Luthor played like Gene Hackman type deal, where he was very
Gene Hackman was fucking whack as Lex Luthor, bro. Come on.
I loved him as Lex Luthor, but that's neither here nor there. He was very charismatic and he's so smooth and gangster about it. You know what I mean? And everything about his composure, his accent, the way his demeanor.
Right.
I thought it was brilliant and I loved it.
Right.
And
so let me ask you some questions though, Vito. So
okay.
What I don't get. How many ever? What, like 38 years from that it came out? 38 years ago. The fucking marketing. How can they not drop? How could they have dropped the ball and said this is the anthology? You know, like leading up to it, did they say no Michael Myers, but we're going in a new direction? Did Fangoria? Did any of the magazines? Any of the fandom? You know what I'm saying? Like, where the fuck was everybody?
Here's the thing.
To say hey, you know, say like you
because
know
because of the time it came out at, continuity was not a big deal in that era. So yes, did they drop the ball? Absolutely. Even the producer, Malik...
Assad?
Yes.
Mustafa Akkad.
On the documentary, Akkad, 25 Years of Terror, he openly admit, yes, we made a mistake. We should have never called it Halloween. He goes, it's a great movie on its own. And had we not called it Halloween or put the Halloween name on there, it probably would have been better received. Marketing is everything. Mm-hmm. In those days, they didn't take that in consideration. People would be upset. They just thought, well, slap Halloween on there. It'll be fine. It'll sell on its own. Again, that was a sin. They totally fucked that up, and everybody admits to it. Had you not called it Halloween 3, the luck would have been good.
Having said that, too, I do commend them for trying something different. It didn't work, necessarily. I mean, a lot of people love Halloween 3. So.
Well, now it worked.
Yeah,
now it's a favorite. Now
Tommy Lee Wallace turned down directing the second one because he just didn't like that. He went on a move. He didn't like the script of the second one.
Well, he didn't want to do the same thing over again.
Right,
he wanted something original.
Right, so he moved on and did the third one. You know, cool, whatever. But
the Shudder documentary, In Search of Darkness. I forgot who it was.
It's freaking long. I didn't get to.
It's
the first
amazing.
One.
But there's I forgot who says it, but he says if Season of the Witch came out right after Halloween 1. It would be a totally. It would the anthology aspect would have continued.
It would have been more set up, but I still don't think.
Do you agree
with
that?
I think it would have been more set up because it was if it would have been right after the first one, like you said. But I still that the impact of the first one was so heavy. I still don't think.
Do you think
calling it Halloween 2 Season of the Witch would have helped it?
I agree with Mike. I still think it should have been called John Carpenter Presents Season of the
That's
Witch.
That's more acceptable
because
it would
have made more sense as an anthology because he can still. Because I know everything he did was John Carpenter, so to make sure he was involved but didn't have to direct the movie, John Carpenter Presents.
Right.
And then they should have been done, better PR should have been done, and I was too young to read Fangoria or those magazines, I didn't know they existed at those times because I was like fucking 6 or 7.
Right. No, I'm just saying, in hindsight, where were they? You know what I'm saying? Though,
again, maybe it's not but it's not their job to do PR. That's the movie studio's job to do the PR.
What I'm asking. Like, where the fuck was the movie studio to fucking do the push?
Universal put that out. I put that on Universal and Dino De Laurentiis, the producer. They should have done a better PR job on that. You could say, even say maybe Carpenter should have done a better PR job than that, but he's not, he's a director, not a PR guy.
Right.
So I blame it on movie studios. There should have been better PR to say, hey, one and two is done. We have an idea. The Halloween name is not going to be exclusive to Michael Myers, but let's talk. Let's do a different movie about the holiday itself with different tales.
But it's forward. Yeah, but it's not like they cleaned up their fucking act with Halloween 4.
Well, yeah, no, no. Well, yeah, man. They went back. And that's because Mustafa went back. And
shout said, out, Spawn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Slow. No, but that's why. And go touch on like that same thing you just said, though. Mustafa did admit that they fucked up on 3 by calling Halloween 3, and that's why they went back to Michael Myers on 4 to kind of
5 years
things,
later
to get things back on track. But let's talk about the cinematography. Again, I thought the cinematography on 3 was even richer than on 2. Dean Cundey, I can't say state this enough, is one of the best cinematographers ever. And you could, and again, Halloween 3 benefits from that.
Turn down Poltergeist, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, he did.
Yep, for Halloween 2.
Attaboy. Thank you. Again, the score, similar to 1 and 2, but
and
still,
they dropped,
I love
they, it. Actually, they dropped a little bit of the Halloween theme in just a little.
Which part?
In the when they're in the where the stones are.
Okay.
There's a little drop of the ding, you know.
Okay.
Halloween, you know. One.
Well, it makes sense too because it's all from the same crew. You know what I mean? No, the cinematography. I thought the tension and the horror was just there. I thought the kills were, you know, pretty gruesome. I thought, you know, as a kid, that freaked me out with all those insects and snakes coming out.
Yeah. That was dope, dude. All
right.
So let me ask you this, though. I know the kid. What do you think? So, did anyone see? Did you guys see the Halloween 25 Years of Terror? Did you see that doc? Any of you guys see the documentary?
Years ago, but I own it. Yeah, but it's been years since I've seen it.
What did you think of the actor who played the Void with the mask on? Who kind of came out afterwards on that? I know it's been some years, but I was really bugged even when I first saw it years ago.
What did he say?
The redhead kid that played the little pain in the ass kid.
Yeah, he's a rabbi now, but I felt really disheartened and you know. Discouraged when he came out shitting on Halloween 3. You're like, why would you guys want to go see that? Who wants to see this? It's like, I get it. Times have changed, and I know he's a rabbi, and obviously opinions change on it. I just thought it was just really just disheartening to see, heartbreaking that.
I don't remember that part.
You're shitting on a movie that we love to see you in, and I get it. It's not your cup of tea right now, which is completely understandable.
Right.
But with that being said, I kind of wish he wouldn't have been so harsh on the movie to say, hey, you know what? It's not my cup of tea as a grown adult.
Right.
But it's great to see that whatever your taste may be, you now like this movie that I did. Thank you so much. You kept the movie. I just felt it was real disheartening for him to really shit on this movie in terms of the violence.
I'll have to revisit that.
I kick myself for not giving this more of a chance in the 80s.
Yeah.
You're not alone, though. We all did the same thing.
Yeah. But I totally love it. Now, I don't even tell people the premise. I say, just watch it. Remove Halloween 3. And just watch it. That's why I'm not even going to give the spoilers. I'm not going to say what happens at the end because I want people that have slept on it, watch it. It's fucking great.
Or give it
especially now, it has. Okay, so if you look at like, what's that movie that you just I loaned you and you just gave it back to me?
Hereditary.
And you look at the bizarre, new modern,
it's disturbing. Yeah.
Right. All these fucked up endings, and I think that ending was ahead of its time. For the 80s, that part of the 80s, they wanted a different ending, and I think hurt the movie.
They
was the ending
it
at the
on
time
a downer note,
with all the kids and getting ready to put the mask
killing
on.
All the kids. Yes,
I don't think it was I don't think it was ahead of its time because in the 70s you had a lot of downer endings.
Yeah, but this was 83 already. You know,
I know. I'm not saying it was ahead of its time because it evoked it the 70s era, but it came out the wrong time because people, like you said, E.T. was out. People wanted something happy, something feel good. And what happened? The bad guy still won. Even though he himself was destroyed,
right.
He already accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And even though some children may have survived it, who knows? You know what I mean?
Right.
The implications afterwards. And I thought that it ended so chillingly. And that's why that movie also comes across like a Twilight Zone type of vibe.
Yes.
Twilight
Great
Zone has that
point.
Thing where it's not always a happy ending where something's changed.
Yeah,
afterwards.
You don't
and
always
that's what
want
I love
a happy
about it.
Ending.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, I was
a big Twilight Zone fan, so
I was at a Monsterpalooza in line, and there was a guy next to me in line, and Halloween 3 came up somehow, and he said that's his favorite of the whole franchise.
Right.
You know, and there's been numerous people that
have said
ranked
that.
This high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Higher than I expected. So
it's a great movie on its own. It's a great tale on its own. It's just again because at that point, Friday had three movies out, all, you know, either with Jason or with his mother, but they still kept it within that continuity.
Right. Sure.
This was kind of, you know, John Carpenter saw one and two, the story was done. Let's do another tale about the Halloween holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And again, people were expecting it, expecting to see Michael Myers. And again, it didn't help that the fact that the soundtrack was similar. It didn't help with the fact that the robots in there moved like Michael Myers.
One of them was actually Michael.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The Dick Warlock one, yeah. So that was kind of fitting.
Yeah. You know, and it didn't help with the fact that even though Dean Cundey did another amazing job, cinematically speaking, it fell in tune with the two other Halloween movies, just without Michael Myers.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Now it's four. We on four?
We're on four. Let's get to four. Okay.
I like all four. Right.
Okay. Well, I have, like I said, I am a mask critic.
Aficionado.
You know what I mean? At least I like to think of myself that way. And four, fellas, I counted six. I counted six masks that I'm going to actually include in the visual of this episode. Right, so everybody right. can see what I'm talking about. Right. And that's not even counting the bandage. And that's not even counting...
I love the bandage scene.
That's look. Not even that counting the yeah. mask on the cover of the movie, which four, five, and six, we don't even... Don't even get me started, but we don't even see those masks mm-hmm. in the movie. So anyway, for me, the pros of Halloween 4 on its face is Loomis returns. That's one of the, you know, Loomis is back. We see him again. You know, there was a big break between 2 and 4, obviously, from him. And then also, I think the score was close enough to, you know, it was close enough to be acceptable.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to listen to this at all. I thought the... you know, some of the atmosphere, there's a lot of rainy scenes mm-hmm. that we see, a lot of dark scenes that I can, you know, I can dig, man. The thumb kill to the medic, thought that was brutal.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it does have...
It has
it's positive. So, the clown outfit, right? So, you know, there's things that we see. You got the Nightmare Man. Decent kills. Yeah, I mean, you know, with the shotgun stab, the electrocution of the... the dude on the roof, right? The power man. I mean, it's got its pros here and there. But again, I'm going to touch up on some of the cons here after you guys, you know, gloat over four. Right.
So I love four. Four is like my number three. So it's like one. It's like two, one, four.
Really?
Yes, I have four that high.
And we're talking to the whole franchise.
The whole franchise.
Wow.
I love, you know, okay, so.
But he doesn't like foreplay, so just bear that in mind,
oh,
folks.
Oh, God. Anyway. So at this time when they were pushing this, I would stay up late as, you know, 12 years old or whatever. I would watch like wrestling at like midnight or whatever, or Freddy's Nightmares would come on late and shit like that.
Right.
So they always had the commercial for Halloween 4, and the fucking music would fucking kind of tense me up and scare the fuck out of me. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah.
And, right. And especially after not hearing it after a long time. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't like now, oh, there's going to be a trailer on YouTube. Watch the trailer. So I didn't even know 4 was coming out back in 88. All of a sudden I'm watching Freddy's Nightmares, and then all of a sudden I hear the familiar music that scared the shit out of me from part 2.
Right.
The, you know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, it scared me. So that's, you know, it just leading up to this scared the shit out of me. So the opening recap where that grimy security guard brings everyone, even if you never saw 1 and 2, he brings everybody up to snuff. It says, it breaks the whole story down that this guy is the killer. He killed all these people. He went after his sister. I thought that was a nice, recap
exposition,
everything.
Right.
Nice.
That was all shot well, to be quite honest.
Absolutely.
That was
very
creepy,
very dark. I agree.
You know, you brought up a good point. They did that well to bring it up to snuff.
Right.
Like they opened up well enough. I even like the opening title sequences. I like it how they did the... It went from, it did go from Pasadena to something more Midwest, but I was okay with that. It has I compared it to music. It's kind of like the Skid Row vibe of the late 80s in terms of music. Mm. This is how I see Halloween 4 and 5. Because again, Carpenter wasn't involved. He sold off him and Deborah Harrell, sold off their interest to Mustafa, so he kind of went forward without them. Dwight Little, the director, Mike and I were talking about this, where it felt like he approached the movie kind of like trying to replicate a recipe from another chef. I mean, he did an adequate job. And there were some definitely good scenes in there and some moments of good cinematography. Alan B. McCoy, who people may not know, also worked on the Spawn comic book. I think this is one of his first projects that he got that actually went into film, was Halloween 4. I liked the elements of it. It sucked because it doesn't have that Carpenter feel, but it's still passable.
So I like the Jamie Lloyd story arc. I love who she is. You know, when the music first drops in the movie, I think that shit, the way they dropped it was fucking money. The burnt hand, great attention to detail. Yes. That he'd be burnt up.
Okay, wait, let me stop you right there, though. Now, let me ask you this, and I've always felt this way, and I like 4, but did you always feel like the burnt hand was kind of understated? Because you saw the burns, how it left in 2, he should have been much more crispy. But could you say in your own head canon, the ending that we saw was seen through Laurie's eyes, and with her being drugged up, did she imagine the explosion being more than what it was?
I'll take that.
You know, because again, too, because her being drugged up, the ending that we saw was strictly from her perspective. Maybe there was an explosion, but not as big as we saw in 2, because it's distorted because we're seeing it through her eyes, right? Maybe there was an explosion, but it was a lot smaller, where Myers did suffer some burns, and so did Loomis. Would you agree with that?
I'm cool with that.
I would disagree. Okay. I would disagree.
No,
Go ahead.
I don't know.
So why? Why?
Because that's awesome, though. That's awesome.
No, yeah. I just don't think the explosion was from her eyes. You know what I mean? I think it was
just the audience's eyes.
That's my opinion.
Right. And I'm good with
that. I don't know. You know what I mean?
And that's valid because, again, too, we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Because the continuity of it.
Right. But in the 80s, the fact that they even had paid attention to it, I felt, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, a lot of 80s shit would get fucked up.
Yeah, continuity was not great.
So I felt that was great that he was burnt. I thought that was great.
Well, they showed like a little burnt mark.
It wasn't a little burnt mark like fucking LJ. It wasn't Freddy Krueger in the hand. But
no, it looked like he burnt his hand fucking on the stove, dude.
It wasn't that bad.
It was like ow. Okay, put some peroxide on that.
I think the fact that they even did it and it was 88, I'm giving
no,
it.
No, I agree. Okay. I agree.
All right, so now there's bad points and the dream sequence. I don't think she should have had that nightmare of Michael Myers in her head. So crisp and vivid when he pops up from the bed and has that. And every time I think of it, I think of what's his name from Family Guy?
Stewie?
There's a scene with the newscaster. He played Michael Myers
in really?
Their canon.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, and he goes, "Hi, I'm Tom." What's the
oh, news? Yeah.
I'll send you the clip.
Tim,
and
please
you can
do.
Put it in. Yeah.
Please do.
And so I always think of him, but. I think that part, I hate dream sequences anyway. If it's not Freddy Krueger, I don't like dream sequences in horror movies.
And I took it as just part of the recipe. Again, Carpenter wasn't involved. It was typical horror movie, so I was like, whatever. It makes no sense why she would be dreaming about Michael Myers in the first place. Yeah,
I don't like that.
Unless her mom...
And then an updated Jamie Lee Curtis picture, I think, would have been... I think they were super lazy. It's like... It was like her...
I think it was just because of rights. They didn't have the rights...
Well, they're gonna ask Jamie, "Yo, Jamie, can we get a new picture of you with a baby or something?"
But they would have to pay her for that. That's the thing. So Jamie Lee Curtis, being an A-list actor at the time, she would have taken up a whole lot of the budget.
Just for that one little picture,
she got paid for that. Any kind of likeness shown,
right?
Just like your boy Michael Biehn got paid.
You're right, but they used an older picture. I'm sure she would charge a lot more for an updated picture.
It'd be a lot of time. It'd be a lot of paperwork and shit like that.
Yeah,
probably,
because
she
didn't probably want to do it, and just to even get her to do it would be, like you said, a lot of time.
It just looks like it
money.
Was like a picture, like a still picture from Halloween 1.
Like, let's
it
grab
was,
that.
You know, and that threw me off. You know, that always kind
of
throws me
off.
But
like Mike said, though, they have to pay for that, and I'm sure that was a cheaper route of the two to set up the continuity. Was, okay, can we just use your likeness and use a still from Halloween
1? Yeah, I mean...
Right, and I get that.
They
get
had to
that.
Pay Michael Biehn
wish,
and...
You know.
Who was it? Michael Biehn in the beginning of Alien 3. Remember they showed the pictures of who died?
Yes. Right,
they
yes.
had to pay him just for that. You know, right. kind of
and
likeness.
Even then, he got blacklisted because he wanted a whole lot more money for that. And
right.
pissed off the producers. And then you have to pay for that to use your likeness.
Right.
It costs money.
Sure. Right. Okay, so listen.
All right. So I love Rachel. I think she's a super underrated final girl.
I
agree with you there.
Yeah, she has, you know, even though she kind of was being a teenager, and you know, when she was like, you know, she's not even my real sister. Come on, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? She was, but she's just being a teenager, a douche teenage. You know, teenagers say stupid things.
So apparently, Laurie Strode babysat her apparently back in the days.
Right.
Is what she said. Okay.
Right. So I think she's super underrated as a final girl. She's has a lot of grit, a lot of guts. You know, she has guts, you know what I'm saying? And even though they're not sisters, biological, she wasn't letting Michael get near her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I love that about her. I like Dr. Loomis being all burnt up. Detail I thought was good.
He had a long fucking scar. Dude still had hair in his head.
Make it seem like he just had a little. No, he didn't. He had the fucking. They couldn't.
You can see the prosthetic on his fucking face.
But Freddie was super popular in 88, so they couldn't go super burnt.
Dude, he had like a fucking burn on his cheek.
Wasn't it coming off on one of the
yes,
one like, of the tapes?
Here,
yeah,
here's a burn mark. Like I was in a fire. Look at this little burn mark right
no,
here.
It wasn't dude, little, bro. It wasn't little.
To me, four, five, and six, for that matter. Four felt to me like it was just like a CW version or something.
No, dude, you can't use my CW line.
TNT then. Right. TNT.
TNT.
You're yeah, right. See, that was Spawn's. Yeah, he trademarked that. But anyways, to me, it just felt like it. The atmosphere wasn't Haddonfield, right? It's no, obviously it, shot somewhere else. It didn't.
It was. You're absolutely right. It wasn't Haddonfield that we knew originally. It
right.
Was, this is more Midwest America.
It did feel that way, yeah.
And again, it's because Carpenter, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Carpenter is from California, resides in California, shoots in California. Dwight Little, just shot
yeah.
elsewhere.
You wanted something different,
and
yeah.
Was, and you know, to be honest with you, I'm good with that, actually. Continuity-wise, yes, it doesn't add up, but I think for the Midwestern thing, I was okay with that flavor for late 80s. I look at this like I look at music or that type of era. You know what I mean? I was okay with that. But for sake of continuity, you could tell they weren't getting it right by the opening title sequences because you had shots of farms, of the holiday season.
Yeah,
right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that, I agree
exactly.
with that.
And so...
But, okay,
if
so...
you can forgive that and move forward...
Right,
right.
So that's
right,
where I'm
right.
at with it. And like, okay, so... there's a scene with where Michael Myers goes into like a garage, mm-hmm. and Loomis sees all the dead bodies, and there's like a tense face off with them.
Right.
And I felt that was very strong. You know what I'm saying?
A lot to of people see, like that.
I love that. And especially with that mask, the wrapped up head mask. I like that.
You're gonna hate me.
Why?
I thought that scene was not as strong as it could have been.
Right.
Really?
I didn't like the way it was executed or shot.
Why?
Go ahead. Let me hear you. I'll give you my take in a little.
I didn't feel that intensity. Like, it was cool. Like, it was like, oh, he's finally here, and you're giving me the obligatory confrontation right now. It just, Dwight Little just wasn't that direct.
That was foreplay, brother. That was foreplay. You don't like foreplay?
You don't do foreplay, so you don't know what foreplay yeah, no, is.
That's foreplay, brother. That's right there.
No, so that's called scratching your ass. That's not foreplay. To me, that wasn't a foreplay. I just, and again, no disrespect to Dwight Little. I think he did a great job. It just, he's not Carpenter, and so, unfortunately, because I'm coming off of 1 and 2, I wanted something more intense, something more dramatic,
yeah.
something more, and again...
Well, they couldn't give you the main event in the middle of the movie. That was the main event.
That's not the main event. It's just saying
them,
something...
Them going at each other is a main event, bro. Okay. You can't give that.
Let's talk to the director. Let's see what the director
says.
So,
what I would say, the one positive about that scene is, which I didn't like, I agree with Vito on that, but the one thing I think that they did, I don't know if they did it on purpose or not, remember when Loomis shoots, right? So we got a shot of Michael standing there.
Right.
Then we cut back to Loomis shooting. Then we cut back to Michael already gone.
That's what I didn't like about that scene.
Which was a callback to Laurie Strode. If you remember, on the second floor on the first one, she's looking down to where the laundry was hanging.
Exactly.
There's no cut that would explain her losing Michael. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only cut is of her, so now you can deal with maybe her subconscious of was someone really standing there.
Thank you.
So I think potentially that could have been...
Right.
A cut there, or actually a callback to the first one.
Right, and that's what I took. That's how I took.
Maybe, I don't know. But I agree with Vito on the scene. To me, wasn't as suspenseful as it could have been. Then you got Michael speeding out of there with the truck. Then Loomis gets blown up and thrown into the damn
right. Wall. That was ridiculous. And that's one
that
of the things
so
I hate.
That was so A-team right there.
Yeah.
But
that was very TJ Hooker
but
shit.
I like it because of that. That cheese factor again comes into play, and that's why I like it for that cheesiness. Yes, it is cheesy, but I like it for that cheese in terms of that scene. But again, too, he shoots at Michael Myers, and he's no longer there. He pulls off the ninja move, and
but he does that in every movie.
Yeah, but Loomis is looking right at him. He just doesn't just disappear like a fucking phantom. Where I agree with Mike, it's possible in her subconscious he was there, and he's no longer there.
Sure, yeah.
So that's where I'm at on that, and that's why I just kind of felt like
the
scene wasn't that strong for me.
I want to get to this particular scene before you jump back in. When you see Danielle at the Halloween store, or hardware store, wherever he's shopping for a costume.
Right.
First shot, back in the background there, you see the mask sitting, right?
Right.
Now, that's one, mm-hmm. okay? Then you got the insert shot of Michael's hand grabbing a second mask.
The burnt hand.
By the way, if you look at it, I don't know why people don't talk about this more. If you look at stuff like that, the insert shot doesn't even have the same toys around the wide shot with Daniel in it. It's completely not only a completely different mask,
right.
It's got completely different toys or items next to it, right? That's two masks. And then you got Michael pulling it on in front of Danielle. Mm-hmm. That's three, because that's the third different mask. And then you got the cut back to Danielle screaming, then back to Michael with the four masks that we all know. Mm-hmm. That's four masks in one scene.
Right.
When you're dealing with Michael Myers, you gotta pay more attention to that. Right. Now I'm okay
because the box has the mask from part one,
right?
Yeah, the VHS box has the. I mean, how
so
can
you left that
off? It's a drawing, though. It's a drawing. Now here's the thing with those movies: every producer, because there were different producers that helped finance these movies, had a stake in that. So they also have ownership on that style of mask used. So they always had to switch up the mask, not to pay the last guy on there, and that's what kind of hurt.
Well, you switch it up from movie to movie.
Yes, and that was a detriment, because like you said, four suffers the most because of that.
But see, I can accept what you're saying, like, okay, we got to choose a different mask for this. Then to that movie, when you confine that movie, you got to stick to that one mask in that movie.
I agree.
We haven't even got to the fucking pink mask with the blonde hair later on. We haven't even got there yet.
But you, how do you get that wrong? But like you and I talked about too, though, these sequels in the 80s were like junk food. You know what I mean? They were set up for mass consumption to not a lot of... There was care put into them, but not enough to be like, we need to fix it. Or like, there was part of one of those... That's good enough. Keep it moving.
And that's a mistake.
Yes.
You know what I mean? To me.
So no, and I agree.
I agree.
That is something we all agree about. Mm-hmm. It's just inherent in those movies because they were treated.
And like that's why I'm okay with them actually, you know, it's not as Freddy Krueger burnt, but they acknowledge the fact that they were burnt, and that's why I give it the
pass. Dude, he had a burn from cooking into fucking tortilla. Dude,
but it was like I'm a slight burn right there. You know what I'm saying? Because, you say, with the continuity of the mask, it could have been the same thing with the burn.
For that movie, at least.
Right,
I mean, H2O, which we'll get to, has got four different masks.
I go with
no
burns. Exactly.
And you see his freaking eyes.
My thing with four is the story. Is not the editing. I get what you're saying,
right.
And I hate it, but I go with the story aspect. So the pastor scene with Loomis, no, that's something I normally would fucking crucify and hate.
Oh, that dude in the truck?
Yeah, I kind of gave it a pass. Now that I'm older, I'm not as upset.
You give that a pass, but you didn't get the fucking chicks coming out from the fucking
But Loomis
pass?
Is there, and the story's progressing.
That was not progressive.
The story's progressing, and he's giving Loomis some like...
I would have edited that the whole scene. Him?
I thought that scene...
I would have edited all that shit out.
But you would have kept the fucking... No, the kid that has no merit, no part of the story, no nothing.
He added to the atmosphere.
No, he didn't.
Loomis... Being trying to chase down a car full of girls, being left in the dust, and
right here I put
it
humanizes Loomis. So Loomis is not just a raving madman. He's able to communicate and drink, get his little drink on and little buzz on, and say, "You know what?
I'm gonna fuck me up some Michael Myers." He already self-sent to that was fucking whack. That was fucking.
I normally would hate that. Normally I would hate that.
Sorry,
I hated it for years. But now I'm okay with it because I love Loomis that much.
So this is what happens when you don't know how to do foreplay. You think you scratch your ass. That's foreplay. That is not foreplay.
This callback to this callbacks to jokes are not good when the jokes are bad. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, dude.
So anyway,
that one could have been edited out.
I just felt a humanized Loomis. Okay. Anyway, so Mike did Mike actually go for her in the story in the store? I've always been confused about that.
He just stood there.
Okay, but that was actually Michael in the store.
I don't know if that was a dream sequence or not.
No, that's what I'm asking.
No, I don't know.
To me, he was in the store.
Yeah, because when they came to rescue her, Rachel and them, he was gone. So I guess he was there.
Okay,
but still, you gotta get that right with the mask pertaining to that movie.
33 years, and it still confuses me. So that means that it was a badly shot.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I think with Vito, like what Vito's saying is that they didn't give a shit, and that's a mistake in my opinion.
Right.
When it comes to these movies.
Yeah, it just came down to filmmaking. That's not that's nothing negative or derogatory against Dwight Little on that one. I'm sure it was one of those things. Hey, it's a pickup shot. Just do it like that. Keep it moving.
Because
again, these directors, if they could, they would get a lot more right than they would get wrong. But everything has to be passed through a budget.
Right.
And again, that's where the producer comes in. And the producer's like, no, just do it like this. It's out of his hands.
Right.
Because every time you shoot something, that has to be funded. The director doesn't have the money. The producer does.
Right.
So if those pickup shots said, well, just do it like this real quick, that's good enough. I don't think it's the director. I think it's the producer saying, good enough, keep it moving.
Right.
Slap it together.
Okay, that makes sense.
What do you think, Mike? Mike, as a director, what do you think about that? Would you agree with that?
About
when doing
continuity
pickup shots
and pickup
shots. The producer is saying, that's good enough, keep it moving?
Yeah, that's probably what it is, because even on the shitty movies that I make, I know how you get pressed for time. All right, yeah, that works. You know, let's keep going. Let's keep moving. But again, that's not a pass for these. This is Michael Myers. Right. This is a Halloween franchise. You have a team. You gotta get the mask. I can't say it enough. For that particular movie, I may not like the mask for whatever movie that it changes to, but to that movie, stick to the mask in that film.
So you know if you had, if you think if they ever went back and they CGI'd the mask properly, would it benefit the movie?
Mike's against CGI.
In four?
What else? How else would you? Yeah, if you had to,
if you used to say they could change it for right. whatever reason, would it benefit the movie?
Because I know you're not crazy about four.
No, it might click up for a little, you know, maybe one click for me because or something always, like that, you know, but not enough.
You know, growing up, the reason why people shitted on four, mm-hmm. it wasn't the story, it wasn't the kills, it was always the mask, was always...
Oh, the mask was the worst.
And they shut down after, they couldn't get past the mask, they shut down...
Yeah.
Well, the mask, and Mike and I talked about this earlier too, he lumbered, he looked like fucking Frankenstein when he walked.
Yeah, how'd you think it was movements, guys?
He could have been the Frankenstein monster underneath that mask the way he moved.
Right. Okay.
Like people talk about two being robotic, but right. That robotic.
Yeah, he was very lumbering. He was very lumbering.
Yeah. It just.
Well, I felt that.
Let me ask you this. Didn't he look like even in the suit? The guy who played Michael Myers in four was so just puffed up.
So that okay. Looked, so I thought that was part five. Was that a part five when he got he looked fatter? I think you think about five.
It was six. Wasn't it six? He looked kind
of
big.
One of them. I felt four too.
But then okay. So let's get to the tension and the scary scenes.
George P. Wilbur. Go ahead.
Okay. So I felt that they did a great job when the streets were empty and then they got separated with Rachel and Jamie. I thought that was strong and the tension built. And then that whole roof chase scene I thought was fucking incredible.
Okay, that to me was awful. Seeing Michael struggle on the roof, bro. You're saying when he's like climbing up and he kind of stabs to him. I thought that was terrible.
Really, I like that. Michael scene. Needs I to always be enjoyed that
in
scene.
The shadows. Michael needs to be smoothly walking. That's what his appeal is. When right. you got him kind of, to me, in my opinion, kind of trying to get up on a rooftop, it was almost comical to me, in my opinion.
Right.
That to me, that was a huge.
I never
huge
even
negative.
Looked at it like that. I always thought it was a good scene where he gets on the thing and he's chasing him on the actual roof. Okay. I always thought that was
okay. And I'm in the middle of you guys on that one. I like it, but it's not perfect. I see and understand Mike's right. points, and I actually agree with Mike. Mm-hmm. But
remember, he's a burnt victim at the time, so maybe that's why he's lumbering, son. You know what I'm saying?
Either way, but I mean, I also like it too, mm-hmm. like you, but I think I like the overall package. Like, I'm good with it. It's entertaining.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's, I don't think it excelled in any one area, but I think he did a good job of just overall the whole movie. It worked with its inconsistencies, with its problems. I think the movie had its own atmosphere and it carried the movie through. But yes, when a good example, talking about the whole rooftop scenes, I'm in the middle of that one.
Yeah.
I always liked that one, dude. I always thought it was intense.
I compare it to H2O and Resurrection when he comes down off the flipping pipe.
I like that part.
You know what I mean?
It's like,
for me, I just can't. But anyway,
I'm in the middle of that one. With you know,
see,
so.
Yeah, I like that. I like when he comes out, this is gangster right
so
there.
So the Scarface death, you know, all you know, I take your fucking bullets. It looked like it just gave me Scarface vibes where they're shooting him and then he falls down. You know, I was
it looked like a mannequin.
Besides that. Where Jamie Lloyd stabs the foster mother, I will say, I'm going on record, I say that's the best closing scene in the whole franchise of Halloween.
I wouldn't say the best, but I doubt it was the perfect way to end that movie. But let's back it up a little bit, though. Let's back it up a little bit, because we kind of glossed over, again, the cops being involved with the Halloween story.
Right, and then the vigilantes and the hillbillies.
I like that aspect of it, because it shows the town fighting back. A lot of these horror movies, they didn't do that.
Right.
The adults kind of were oblivious. And I like how the adults and the law enforcement were involved in this. And I like there was a lynch mob for him. And it was cool to see, you know, because something like this would happen, right? Right. We fight back and you see him getting fucked up by that. When he had a Scarface moment, I thought that was dope because it's showing that, you know, adults are aware of this and they're trying to do something to correct it. And I thought that was a great element. I thought the movie created its own great atmosphere, because I know people may think we're shitting on four. We're not shitting on
four. I'm not shitting on four. I love four.
But I'm just saying, it had its own great atmosphere, but I didn't think it... I thought it was thrilling, but not scary. I had thought it had moments of intenseness. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But nothing to what Carpenter brought before.
Well, that's impossible
to do. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying I liked it for what it is, a late 80s horror film.
Right.
And I like the vibe, and I like how it captured... the season, the fall season in that with the colors, but
So like in the eight, in, like
wait,
in the
on,
eight.
Wait, okay, let me finish talking. But after being away for what, it came out in 88, right? Mm-hmm. For 7 years, I kind of was hoping for something more, but I'm...
In retrospect, not in 88 though, right?
But, no, in 88 I wanted something more. In retrospect, I'm glad with what I got.
Really? Because in 88 I loved it more than I... You know, I loved it and it was like love at first sight.
I wanted more in 88.
Okay.
Because I saw it on VHS with my friends.
Right.
And I really want... I was expecting, in my mind, I was expecting something more aggressive.
Yeah, it did lack aggression. I agree with you there. Can you guys see this? Kathleen yeah. Kimont.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she signed that. She's really cool. The cops do it by the book chick.
Yeah, she was sexy. She's one of the best chicks in the whole franchise.
You know, I think the house sequence in part four was good.
Yep.
Yeah, with Brady and Rachel and them. That was a good sequence with the cop in the rocking chair.
Yes.
Michael getting up out of the rocking chair with a shotgun. And then, did he cut the cop's head off? I only remember seeing the head. I couldn't really tell.
I think that's the thing.
Some of the kills were not as clear as it could have been.
Well, that's because it's late 80s and they had to be careful about that too.
Right.
And again, even Mustafa said in the documentary he wanted to go back to Halloween 1 where it wasn't going to be too gory, mm-hmm. but then the director said Mustafa was pushing for more gore, so who knows? But we do know horror films in the late 80s were very much neutered.
Okay, so this is what I want to say. So let's say in an alternate timeline, Season of the Witch had its own name.
Okay.
And they did Halloween 1, Halloween 2, and then they did Halloween 4. It would have been the perfect ending for this. It would have been a perfect trilogy.
No, I think
it starts off with Michael. It starts off with Michael as a kid killing the sister, and then you have the niece
on paper,
with the same thing. Wait,
on paper, yes, but the way it was shot.
With Carpenter's vision, I could go with that.
Right.
Yes.
It was Carpenter that did it, but I think it would have been a huge just drop off the ledge if it did go 1-2.
Four as three.
Correct. Right. If it was that four that we have now.
I just think that the potential there and just the impact. I remember, like, everyone that had rented it, because I don't remember if a lot of people saw it in the theater that I knew.
Right.
But I remember when everyone came out of VHS, mm-hmm. and everyone was talking about it at school, and that ending was a hit. Everyone was like, what's going to happen next?
I can't wait.
I think it's the best... The final best final scene in the whole franchise. What would surpass it?
H2O's ending.
But look at what comes after it.
If you don't even
okay.
don't I'm gonna say H2O. Okay,
so
ending.
If that was the ending. Yes,
I will say this. I think the ending on 4 is one of the best, not the best endings, but definitely a high way to end one of the
Pleasance
best,
acting. Come on, give it a little bit more props to Pleasance acting.
No, Pleasance is always on point.
Let me get to Pleasance, but go ahead.
Pleasance is always on point.
Thank you.
To me. And again, this is all subjective, of course.
Right.
Pleasance is always on point, and I agree with you. It is a great ending to one of the movies in the series, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it the very best.
Because
honestly...
It's ill. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Because all of a sudden you see the mask, and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, shit, nah.
Right.
Nah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, it's a callback to Halloween 1, but at the same time, too, though, Mike brought up a good point. Or you could probably a good point. H2O, that was a great ending right there when he gets decapitated.
Yeah.
Or when he's burning up... You know, at the end of 2.
That's the showdown you want. At the end of H2O, you want Lori shutting the gates.
Right.
Lori and Michael, which is what 2018 should have been.
Right.
But anyway.
We'll get to that. So anyway, that's my opinion. I feel that that's the best ending.
Okay.
Had that been the final scene of the... And then they stopped right there and it was 1-2. I would have never felt jumped.
I would have felt jumped.
I thought poetic.
I don't think she killed her, though.
Tragic and poetic. Very Shakespearean. I think it would have been brilliant.
I don't think Jamie killed that lady, though.
No, she just fucked her up.
Yeah,
a
just
bit.
Fucked her up. Right. No, but it was a strong ending. But
he was like, no. And then he fucking gets the gun. Come on, son.
Let me get to Pleasance here, man. Pleasance is my guy, so I'm just going to go after the Loomis character. I'm not going to blame. It was tiresome watching him struggle to walk, struggle to get his lines out, struggle to convince people that Michael.
He's battle damaged.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it was to me, especially in 5, man.
Okay,
five was just so tiresome, man. It's like, okay, we get it. You know what I mean?
Well, at that point, he's just going through the motions because that's what his character has been reduced to.
It's a character thing. It's a character.
But how was he in 4 to you?
4, he was. It was good to see him. It was refreshing to see him.
But you can't tell me though he's not playing it. He's not going through the motions at this point. A little bit, maybe not as much as 5. Maybe not as much as 5, but at this point, he's Van Helsing. He's basically...
Still up to date in 4, I can give you that.
Okay.
But it just started to grow on me, especially when we got to 5.
Well, it's because at that point, it's how they wrote the script. They only brought him on because he was a recognizable name that the fans liked, and he's just going through the motions, kind of like a character who's on a TV show. You already know what lines they're going to say. I get it. It's part of the ingredients.
Real quick, I had a question here that I noted. There's two. Well, there's a question, and then there's a trivial kind of thing. Who is Jamie's dad then?
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
They never said who it was.
Because Jamie's mom would be Laurie Strode, right?
Was it the ambulance guy?
Maybe.
Okay, and then they said a goof. One of the goofs was at the 14-minute mark, for anyone that cares. Apparently, I saw it, so I can confirm this. When they're typing, when the officer or whoever that is typing the police report, they type Michael M. Myers.
Hmm.
But his middle name is supposedly Audrey.
That's why he killed. That's why he went on a killing spree. That middle name.
Where was it? Okay, when did they establish his true middle name as Aubrey?
I don't know, but I know that if when I look it up, when I've seen people actually say it, I've never seen it, Audrey. Maybe somewhere in the first one, but I've never seen it confirmed in the films that his middle name is Audrey.
I'm surprised they even gave him a middle name. I think Mike doesn't.
Michael Myers.
He's good enough as a character.
Yeah. Now, I want to say one more thing. I think that one of the best lines also in the franchise. And something that holds dear to me is the costumes of the kids in part 4 before we move on to 5. Like, they're wearing masks. And it was very 80s. That part was very 80s. I like that.
When they're picking on
Jamie Lloyd. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a great thing, too. They show how kids were really fucked up and mean in the 80s. You're an orphan.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. No, but the best line is, it goes, Jamie's mommy's a mummy.